Back here for another edition of Zoomed In. I'm your host, Brandon Chapman, and I'm joined by Scott Jedlicka, an assistant professor of sport management within the College of Education. And Scott, thanks for joining, first of all.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, let's just get right down to the nitty-gritty. Let's not dilly-dally around. We're talking college football, and I think the question that a lot of people have on their mind is there going to be a college football season? And of course, you know, the majority of institutions across this country, they are grappling with that problem of are we going to even have online classes, in-person classes? And so you actually did something kind of neat, and that's what we're going to talk about today. This awesome map, you've labeled it COVID plus college football, or CFB. So let's talk about that, and we will put that right up on the screen when you're talking about it so people can see what the heck we're talking about.
As classes were getting over this semester, I have obviously, like a lot of people, been following the pandemic and trying to keep abreast of what's going on, and certainly how it's impacted the world of sports. And I had some time and some interest to put this together, because it is something, as you said, that there's still a lot of uncertainty surrounding. And so I thought this effort would be something that could at least bring a little bit of clarity, or a little bit of objectivity, I suppose, to where we stand with regard to the possibility of college football in a few months.
Yeah, one of the things that you had written in a blog, and I'll just throw this out there and we'll share it, but covidcfb.com is a site that you have built, and it does have this map that shows an up to date diagram of the pandemic, and where the spikes have been, as well as in the last however long, so total number of cases, things like that. But you know, this is all coming up because college football is a huge economic engine, right? The thought, as I don't know if you can see this right now on camera, I'm wearing a hoodie that says Pullman Proud. Okay,
right.
The thought of college football not taking place in a smaller town like Pullman is devastating, right? From an economic perspective, you think about those 6-7 games a year, those home games, and what they can do for the local economy. And without that, of course, that's difficult. But what you wrote in your blog, and so let me see here. You said, of course, the rush to restart the economic engine like college football may end up being a prelude to our darkest winter in modern history. And that part's in quotes. And that links to something where that was in the Guardian, where somebody had testified before Congress saying that as the virus spreads, the window's closing to address this pandemic. And of mm-hmm. course, we as a society, right? So sport management, you guys don't just deal with what's on the field. You do deal with societal things in sport. But how, you know, this is a huge thing, the altar of college football. And mm-hmm. And so it's a really well done site. It's a great blog that you wrote in this case, because it does go into those kind of details. I think it's pretty neat. So talk about that though. And of course, teams have to play teams that exist in other cities. So talk about some of the ramifications and how much we just don't know. And what we're at least seeing through this map, which I think is going to be apparent when people take a look at it, but how does it affect college football in general to see this kind of info, and maybe even more specifically the Pac-12?
Yeah. Well, I guess first of all, we have to acknowledge, and this is a portion of the site I'm still trying to build out a little bit. The NCAA has issued some guidelines as to when sports, not just football, can get going again. And I think there was an announcement just a few minutes ago before we started this about some sports actually resuming in-person activities. But the NCAA has basically said every institution has to decide for itself. And obviously, each institution is governed by its own states and local level guidelines and laws and orders and so forth. But the NCAA has suggested, at least, that one of the one of the big criteria for resuming activity is a decline in cases, or a downward trajectory, as they put it. And so that's what I'm trying to capture here in this visualization is, you know, whether that is actually occurring. And you can see in places, especially some smaller places like Pullman, and I think the Montana schools actually are maybe leading the charge on this. You see areas where the rate of confirmed cases is very low. But certainly if we move to the east, or if we look even in the Midwest, in the Deep South, or at least parts of the Deep South, there are areas where the virus is spreading and there's documentation of confirmed cases that is growing rather rapidly. And so with that kind of overarching guideline in mind, that, you know, in order for anything to at least start happening, we have to see this decline in cases. You know, this kind of captures whether or not that is happening, or the extent to which it is happening. And I think what's also nice here, as you said, is that even though each member institution has to sort of take this on its own terms, the nature of intercollegiate sport is that it's intercollegiate. We have travel, we have different institutions playing one another, and so even if things are under control here in Pullman, or even in the state of Washington, you know, we have to go play in Los Angeles, we have to go play in Arizona, places where, at least right now, the rate of infection is much larger than it is here.
Yes. And yeah, so if you're in the Big East, you're not going to want to go play Rutgers right now. And you can see from the map that, you know, that area, that whole New York, Newark area is doesn't look good. Mm-hmm. I see from the Pac-12 that, you know, Pullman looks very similar to Corvallis, right? Mm-hmm. And while I would be fine with playing Oregon State every game and just, you know, two great land grant, you know, institutions, we're very similar in a lot of ways. You know, that's really not that practical. And so that is true. Yes, we have some of our own ability to do things within our state and within our institution. But this does give folks the real true situation that you know, university presidents, and I would assume boards of regents, have to look at, right? And you mentioned LA, and that is one of those areas that's a little darker. It's not as big as out east, but mm-hmm. it is dark. And so it's not a decision that I think each institution can make in a silo. And I would imagine that the whole Pac-12, of course, is you know, university athletic directors for each of those institutions and their presidents and or chancellors are looking at. Anything that was surprising to you when you came up with this map, which you know, you do label this where the sources and how you created it, but you know, what stood out to you, and you know, I assume you're pretty fairly confident with the accuracy of this mm-hmm. based on the source.
Yeah, well, I guess the thing that I was really interested in and trying to do here was to visualize, you know, when you look at a lot of the COVID data that's out there, you know, this the source that I'm using for this is a site called USA Facts, which is also what the CDC is, or at least one of the sources that the CDC is using. And if you look and go around and look at COVID data, you know, usually it's on a county by county basis. And so what I was trying to do here was actually visualize the larger sort of geographic and economic region in which each institution exists. Because we could look at, again, we could just take WSU as an example. You know, if Pullman in Whitman County had zero cases, or had a very low rate of infection or something like that, but Latah County over in Idaho was just, you know, having a really hard time, had a high infection rate, had an outbreak, whatever. If we're looking at individual counties, you know, just looking at Whitman County, where WSU isn't going to capture that. even though there's quite a bit of interaction between us and Moscow. People work here but live in Moscow. People shop in Moscow but live in Pullman. All that sort of stuff.
And a lot of people are heading down to Kendrick as well, because the one institution defied governor's orders. They say we're staying open at all times, right?
Yeah, exactly. And so, yeah, I mean, even though we can look at individual places in isolation, that usually doesn't give us the whole picture in terms sure. of, how people are interacting within a given geographic space. And so that's what I was trying to do here. So the COVID data is from the USA Facts website. The data or the organization for the metro areas comes from the US Census Bureau. This was really just an effort to kind of marry those two sets of data and try to come up with something that could capture what was going on as it pertained to college football.
Yeah, and it does, I mean, it does give some indicators of where things are heading. You can see in Louisiana, for example, there's a rather large circle, but you also see the increase in cases from April 28th to the 19th of May, is a lot lower than in other places where it's deep purple. And of course, WSU can condition the color purple to be bad, right? University of Washington. We say that in jest, of course. That's another fine institution. Absolutely, we're working with UW more than ever before. But you see that obviously, there have been a lot of cases, but it started to curtail maybe a little bit, or they have not seen the increase in cases that have existed in other places. So I would assume that is at least less worrisome when you start to see that is dropping, right? That they're not having the pandemic-like spread. But it certainly does make you realize that putting the pressure on one institution to, either play college football or not, there is definitely a collaboration that has to happen in this. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Sorry, I just wanted to jump in.
Please.
There. The size of the circles, and it's noted on the site here, represents the total cases. So those on a day-to-day basis aren't really going to change in size too much. Right. But yeah, as you said, the more important thing to, at least in my mind, to be aware of on a more frequent basis is the shading, because this is going to indicate whether there is a legitimate increase or something to be concerned about. And this is true not just as the season approaches, certainly, but even as the season ostensibly gets underway. If we start to see outbreaks or we start to see increases in cases, and this has been part of the conversation nationwide, are we going to see cancellations of games? Are we going to see shortened seasons? I believe I just saw you tweet out a day or two ago a story about some institutions that have already planned to go fully online mm-hmm. after Thanksgiving in anticipation of something.
The winter flu season.
Yeah.
And right.
Yeah. So I think my intent, at least, is to try to keep this going even as the season gets underway, so we can see, are there problem areas emerging? Are there places where games might have to be canceled or moved, or other steps might have to be taken in response to the spread of the disease?
Well, this certainly does help, I think, Scott, to give decision makers ability to make objective decisions. And I think that's really what I think a majority of our country, our state, and here on the Palouse anyway, want is, let's make this decision based on objective numbers, understanding there's always a little bit of a lag in some of the numbers mm-hmm. we get, sometimes a couple weeks worth, but let's make it objective. There's that small fraction who doesn't really care, You know, they're the ones who are saying football, you know, it's football or death, right? That's those are your two options. You know, but this really does show the kind of decision making that needs to occur. You know, let's end on just a fun note. You know, tell me what kind of college football teams did you root for growing up? Who'd you root for? Who was your team?
Well, I grew up in Eastern Iowa, so I was a Hawkeye fan.
Okay.
And I went to Northern Iowa for my undergraduate. So I was the Panthers, and we actually went to the national championship game when I was a freshman or sophomore.
That doesn't really count if you're Northern Iowa, though. We don't count that.
hey, we lost to Appalachian State, who's now a FBS team, but.
That is true, yeah.
But yeah, and then I did my graduate work at Texas, so I had a chance to experience real Texas football.
Oh, yeah, real Texas, the big boys, yeah.
Actually, all my classes were in the stadium there in Austin. So I've rooted for a variety of teams over the years. But yeah, now I'm a Cougs, so... in terms of mascots, except for Texas, I've always been a large cat. I was a tiger in high school, I was a panther as a college student, and now I'm a Cougar. It was meant to be. Yeah, there you go. I've been all around, experienced football in a number of different places, but hopefully we'll see a season take place in some form or fashion this year. Over the summer we'll just have to keep an eye on things and as you said, sort of deal with the uncertainty and try to make decisions and set policy as best we can given that uncertainty.
Yeah, I think the number one word we could use right now is versatility, or maybe being nimble. About 100 days left until the college football season, and you know, might be a little premature to either call it or say it's going to happen. So some of that being nimble is going to be important. But I appreciate you joining me on this. I think this is really cool work. It's definitely something that I think can help inform not only decision makers but also general public and football fans like myself, just so we can understand with full transparency what kind of decisions, what kind of resources do exist for these decision makers when they're making these things, and that they are coming from objective places. So, Scott, I appreciate you joining me on this. Any last words?
I guess first, thank you for having me. This was fun. One of the better Zoom experiences I've had. If you're interested in this work, again, the website is covidcfb.com. I'm hoping in the coming days to maybe have a second map that better visualizes the NCAA's policy, or at least its guidelines. Whereas this map is more, just trying to capture a whole bunch of different sorts of data, looking at trajectories and things like that. So watch this space, as they say. Thanks for having me.
All right, very good. Thanks very much, Scott Jedlicka, Assistant Professor of Sport Management here at WSU in the College of Education. Thanks so much, Scott. Appreciate it.
Yep. Have a good one.